Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Marion Levant with Emily Andelman, interviewing Helen Speier, November 21st, 1986. Were you born in Pittsburgh, Helen?
No, I wasn't. I was born in New York City. You want the date? Oh, I don't mind. I was born May 26, 1914. I'm 72. Mm-hmm. Just an old lady. Yeah. And we came to Pittsburgh when I was 4 years old. And we came because my mother had one blood sister. She had several brothers and sisters that were half brothers and sisters. But her one sister lived in Pittsburgh, and she was caught in the epidemic of the flu at that time and passed away. And she left a husband and a little girl, 2 years old. My mother wanted them to come to New York so that my mother could raise them. And my uncle refused to go to New York, so my mother packed up her family and came to Pittsburgh, where we all lived together. So that's how we got to Pittsburgh.
That's an interesting story. What year was the flu epidemic?
We moved here in 1918, and you know, I guess it was the wartime, and I'm really not real sure when that happened.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two sisters with whom I'm very, very close, and I had a brother who died of leukemia in 1955. Mm-hmm. He was married, but no children. So, you know, there's nothing. But my two sisters, this is a duplex where I live. And one sister lives upstairs. So our children were kind of raised together and are very good friends. And my other sister, or my younger sister, who's 10 and a half years younger than I am, used to live close by. And all the children went to Fulton School, and when my mother died in 1953, and when my mother died, my father had asked Oscar and I to come back here to live, and we did. So this was the coffee clutch place. The children all went to the same school, and they all came back here. And we sisters met every afternoon to be with my father. We'd have coffee, tea, cake, you know. And we used to call this the milk bar because the kids would come from school and have milk. They wouldn't even go upstairs to drink it, you know. It was a very nice arrangement. Yeah, it was a very nice arrangement.
Oh, well, now could you tell me some of the names? The names of her parents?
My mother was Rebecca Baum, B-A-U-M. And she came from Galicia. And my father's name was Leon Bart, B-A-R-T. And he came from the same town that my mother did, but he did not know my mother in Europe, but he knew her parents. And they didn't meet until they came to New York. Mm-hmm. And I guess they lived in a ghetto-type place near Harlem. And my father was a waiter. And, you know, when I was 4 years old, I was talking naturally, but I didn't know any English. We only spoke Yiddish, and now I don't know any Yiddish. Isn't that awful? But I did speak Yiddish, and I don't, at 4 years old, I don't really remember anything about New York except the pushcart peddlers that sold the sweet potatoes. That I remember. I always wanted to buy a sweet potato. Mm-hmm. And my father brought over his family. And my mother, I'm not sure what happened. My mother never liked her stepmother. And although we used to go to see her in New York, her brother who brought his mother over. And of course they're all gone. Everybody's gone. Mm-hmm. But I have a close relationship with my mother's family, and not with my father's family. His Two sisters are gone. The one sister is 98 years old, his youngest sister is 98 years old, and lives in the Jewish Home and Hospital for the Aged in New York. Mm-hmm. And I talk to her every week. She's a remarkable lady. Mm-hmm. But I don't see any of my cousins, you know, from my father's side. They just kind of dispersed, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the name of the town in Galicia?
Mm-mm. Somber, Galicia.
Mm-hmm. And what about the name of your sisters and brothers?
Okay, my name is Helen. My brother was the oldest. His name was Martin. And it was funny, when we came to Pittsburgh, he's 3.5 years older than I am, and we used to call him Motti. You know, mm-hmm. Motti was the name. But when we came to Pittsburgh, my mother was very anxious for us all to be Americanized. And so she hired a German housekeeper and gave instructions that no Yiddish was to be spoken. And my mother and father tried to speak English, and so only when they wanted to talk that we should, you know, to themselves, with themselves, mm-hmm. they spoke Yiddish. Mm-hmm. But my oldest brother is Martin, and then I'm next, and I have a sister, Edith Grinberg, who lives upstairs, and I have a sister, Ethel, who now lives in North Hills.
That's very awesome.
And I have two children, a girl and a boy. Martin didn't have any. Edith has three boys, and Ethel had two girls, and unfortunately her 33-year-old daughter died this past April. It's just almost a year. And let's see, they're not... My sister Ethel has the one daughter left, and she's in Cleveland. She's married, has a little baby, and is pregnant. My sister Edith has three boys, two of whom are married. One has three boys, and one has a boy, and a girl was born on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And she has one single son. And my daughter is not married. She lives in the Washington, D.C. area. Actually, she's in Prince George's County. And she's just real, real happy. She teaches school. Became a vice principal in September, and now she's going to leave that because she's going to be president of the union. So
and
8,000 member union, Marjorie Spahr.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, Chuck, lives about 5 blocks away, and he's married to a Marilyn Sigler, and he has a children's store on Forbes Avenue, across from the Maxon Towers in that little mall, you know, next to Jimmy Rich. And he has two adorable little girls. They're sitting over there.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
Now, when your family then came to Pittsburgh, then what did they do in Pittsburgh?
My father and my uncle together bought a restaurant on Fifth Avenue. It was, if you're familiar with the Klein restaurant,
mm-hmm.
my father and uncle bought the Klein restaurant. And it was never a kosher restaurant, but it was a kosher style where people came. And Mr. Klein moved we were uptown in the Hill District, and Mr. Klein moved downtown. And we lived above the restaurant. And of course, my mother wasn't very happy with that. So they bought a house in Northside. I even remember, I have no idea where it is, but I remember it was at 117 Hawkins Avenue. And one day I'm going to go see where Hawkins Avenue is, if it still exists. And we all lived together. At that time, Ethel was not born, but Martin and Edith and I. And there was another, my uncle's daughter was Helen, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all lived together. And we lived in the north side for about a year and a half, or maybe longer, because I was four or five, I was in the first grade, and my mother felt it was time for us to have Jewish friends. So we came to East End and bought, my family bought a house on Heth's Avenue. And at that, around that same time, my uncle remarried and took his Helen with him. Mm-hmm. And we lived, you know, near B'nai Israel. It was far. Now kids wouldn't walk it, but we walked it all the time. And my mother just wanted to be sure we all had a Jewish education. I remember my first day at school, coming home at lunchtime. I met a Jewish girl! I met a Jewish girl! I was so excited. Silly, but that's what we did. And my mother was just a wonderful, wonderful woman. She didn't have any education, but she was as smart as a whip. And she worked for the shul, you know, she was real active, always in the kitchen. Because my mother did the cooking at the restaurant. And actually, to get back there, they had that restaurant on Fifth Avenue for a couple of years. And then Mr. Klein moved from his restaurant, and my uncle, my father, bought that restaurant. It's 632 Penn Avenue. And that's on the block between where the Stanley and Penn are. And that's the part that's being torn down now for the new development there. And so we were there through thick and thin, hard times. And when my uncle left, there was a family misunderstanding, you know. And my uncle moved out, and his name was Alex Schulberg. I don't know if anybody remembers him. And he opened a restaurant in Squirrel Hill.
Oh, yes, I remember.
And I couldn't stand any family arguments. So I was the one who kept in touch with them and went to see them. And then later on in life, Uncle Alex would come here and visit with my father. You know, this was after my mother passed away, and that's when things started to change.
And the Kleins went to Forth?
No, they went to Forth, but they weren't allowed to be in business for a certain length of time. You know, that's how they did it. And then they did not open on Forth, they opened on Liberty Avenue. And then from Liberty Avenue, they went to 4th Avenue. Mm-hmm. But we stayed at 632 Penn Avenue through the flood, the 1936 flood. And my mother and father retired. My mother was in the kitchen all the time. She taught the cooks how to cook, you know. And my mother and father retired in 1947.
Mm-hmm. All right, then, when you were in Penn Avenue, what did you call your restaurant?
The Temple Restaurant.
The Temple Restaurant.
Uh-huh. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that. Oh, yes. And I'm sure you have a lot of memories about things that had occurred at that time.
Oh, there were a lot
of people that came there.
At one time, I worked when I got out of school, you know. During high school days, I don't know too much, but during college days, well, even high school days, when I was a camper at camp, we always used to go to the restaurant to eat because my mother was there all the time, and she would bring things home on Sunday night, you know, and if we kids wanted to make something, we could, but usually we ate at the restaurant. And at our restaurant, it was very funny. There were certain groups of people ate together. The jewelers ate at Helena's table, and certain business people ate at Marie's table, and that's how they would refer to everybody. And so I knew, you know, all these people, Julius Halpern and Abe Weil and Freddie Gluck and you name them, they all came to the restaurant to eat. And They would sit at their own, they had their own tables, and that's where they would sit. And then I got it, when I graduated college, I got a job with the United Jewish Federation. Only it wasn't, I didn't work for the United Jewish Federation, I worked for the United Jewish Fund, which was on the same floor on 4th Avenue as the Federation, but I was secretary to the head of the fund, not the Federation. And so people would come to the restaurant. I would know their name, their address, how much they gave. I mean, it would just click like a camera. And the strange thing is, the day I quit my job, I couldn't tell you where any of those people lived or how much they gave to anything. It was strange. But there were a lot of interesting things at the restaurant. I remember the one time a union tried to start up union help there. My mother and father were very good to their help, and the help liked it. And they weren't interested in the union, but the union came in and started, and there was all kinds of fuss. And so when I came from work, I had to wait on tables and that kind of thing. And we had a porter, Adam. He used to get to work at about 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning and start things up. And if Adam didn't show up, you know what happened. We were awakened, and we kids went down, and we would put all the chairs on top of the table, mop the floors, put the chairs down, get the table set up, and then go to work. So when I hear these kids say they work too hard, you know, I get angry. But that's what we did. And we met just a lot of important people there. And as a matter of fact, when I got married, I got gifts, not one, but from each group of people. It was very interesting.
Then what happened with the union? I guess the
They never unionized, and our help was there for years and years and years. The only thing that happened was that Adam eventually died, and Adam was in the restaurant when he died, and it was quite upsetting. And my father, my mother, and I guess my brother and sisters, I don't remember, we all went to the funeral home, and Adam's family. He didn't have a wife or children, but he had family, and they were there, and my father was extolling Adam how wonderful he was, and how my father couldn't have run the restaurant without Adam. Mm-hmm. And the family would say, oh, he was wonderful to us. He brought us cases of ketchup, and he brought us cases of this. And I thought my father was going to have a burn. When we left, he didn't think Adam was such a wonderful person anymore. It was really funny. And we were there. I remember the flood.
What happened during the flood?
Well, during the flood, you know, we were flooded out, and everything was ruined in the restaurant. Except we had a bar. We didn't have a bar. I guess we sold liquor. Yeah, we did have a small bar at that time. Everything was ruined except the bottles in the window stayed straight. They never even toppled over. My mother's picture was in the paper, you know, with her noodle soup. We had a lot of salesmen coming into our restaurant. And my mother got to know all of them because she would come out of the kitchen. Now, what would you like to eat today? You know, typical Jewish mama. And they would tell her all their love problems, who they were going out with. I think my mother knew more dirty jokes than anybody. She never told us, but she knew them all. And when these customers would come in, they would just, the waitress would come to take their order, and they would say, tell Mom I'm here and send something out to you. Tell Mama I'm here, you know. And at that time, too, there were stage shows at the Stanley and at the Penn. And we had all those stars coming to our restaurant to eat. And my little sister, Ethel, she was taking cash. She would take cash in the evening, and she would always get their autographs. And I would say, what are you going to do with their autographs? What are you going to do with that stuff? And she'd say, nothing. I'll throw it away, but it makes them feel good, so I get it. And I used to come there every day after work and work.
Does she still have those autographs?
Well, I don't know what she did.
She'd probably be worth quite a bit today.
She'd probably threw them away, you know.
Who were some of the celebrities that came?
George Jessel, Milt Burrell.
Oh, my. Yeah. How did they behave?
Well, you know, just like you or me, you know, they were fun. Lots of times my father sent dinner over, you know, backstage when they couldn't come. And we were exceptionally busy during Passover. And as I said, we were just kosher style. But every year, restaurants have to get a new supply of dishes and pots and pans. And my father and mother always got them before Pesach, so that at least they could say the dishes were new. Excuse me. And these people from everywhere would come to eat because we just served matzah. And my father would be rushed, and he would be so angry. Where are all these people all year round, you know, these Pesachic Jews, you know, that come to eat? But I don't know, I'm trying to think of...
some of the people that, business people perhaps, who...
All of them came there. There's now Harold Goldstein. He used to eat there all the time.
Who was he?
Harold Goldstein is, I'm not sure what kind of business. Ida Goldstein's very active at council.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've already celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. You know, they're up there.
Nice.
And he used to eat in the restaurant. Julius Halpern and Alfred Halpern and George Halpern and Abe Weil from Wayne and Weil. And all the jurors. Hello? Hello, Chuck. What is this?
That's your gift to your granddaughter's.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's my son.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. This is a children's store.
Oh, aren't they nice?
Because I can give them to my grandchildren tonight.
Oh, how lovely.
So, anyway.
So you were telling us about some of the important people that, of
the
community.
Oh, restaurant.
Of celebrities.
Lee Levinson, the jeweler, and, what's her name, Ann Miller, Leon Miller, that group of jewelers.
Oh, there were jewelers.
Yeah, from all the people from the Clark Building, Helfers, that was Rogers Jewelry, Kane, and the dentist. There was a group of dentists, Goldman. They all sat at this business table. You know, I'm getting senile, I can't really remember all the names.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it sounds like you really had an interesting
time. We really
time
did. It was really a lot of fun. But, you know, I was married on a Tuesday because after a number of years, my mother and father decided that they would close the restaurant one day a week. And they closed it on Tuesday. So Tuesday was a free day. And Oscar and I were married the day after Labor Day. And nobody could understand, why would you get married the day after Labor Day? Why wouldn't you get married on Labor Day? But Tuesday was the day that my mother and father were off. It made it easy for them.
Mm-hmm. About the atmosphere of the home itself, then? It was part home, part business was all
No, it meshed. Wasn't business at all. My mother and father worked very late, and we had a home on Hess Avenue. It was a big house that they had bought, and that's where we were all raised. It's in the same area, but it's off Stanton Avenue. There was only one house on our side of the street and one house across the street from us, and the Schutzmans lived there, And then it went, Hess Avenue went down, and there's a, excuse me, another part of the house, part of the street that have a few houses on where Dr. Mickey Bilder was brought up, and, you know, that family. And we were all very active in the shul, B'nai Israel, and we went every Saturday. My mother made us go, and actually, everybody envied my parents because on the High Holy Days, my mother and father bought us as children seats, you know, and we had to sit there. All the other children were outside playing with those Buckeyes, mm-hmm. but we sat in shul. Oh, that was what we didn't know what was going on, but we sat there. And my father wasn't active until he retired. And, you know, I guess as you get older, you go back to your synagogue, and so he did. And he was very lost without my mother because they were together, you know, 24 hours a day. They worked, and they didn't have a car. And every night they came with these bags of food to our house. There was a woman who came from Europe, who came to Pittsburgh. Her name was Anna Mildworf. Do you know that name?
Yes, I do.
She came and brought greetings from a relative or something in Europe. You know the man who came to dinner?
Mm-hmm.
She stayed with us until practically before she died.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh. And she lived, we had a three-story house, and she had a room and a bathroom, you know, and she used our kitchen, and my mother used to schlep food home for Anna. She worked for Friedlanders in the South Side. And my brother was bar mitzvahed. Of course, at that time, they didn't have any bat mitzvahs, and I wasn't bat mitzvahed. But I can still daven. Not as well as I used to, but I can still.
Yeah, so you had a really religious atmosphere.
Well, yeah. And my mother was the kind of a woman who said, we never had a whole lot, but, you know, it's like you read in the papers today, you know, you didn't know that you didn't have a whole lot because you did all these things. And my mother always taught us. She, from as early as I can remember, no matter how bad you have it, somebody has it a little worse, and you have to help them. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
Well, then you knew Anna and Galicia.
No, my mother and father really didn't know her. She brought some kind of greetings back from somebody, I don't know, and she didn't have a place to stay. And my mother said, well, stay here till you find a place. And so she did. Never found a place.
You mentioned earlier that you went to camp.
Mm-hmm.
What camp did you go?
Camp Canadota.
Canadota, where was that?
That was outside of Erie, PA, and it was owned by the Bazells, Dr. Bazell and his wife and his children all grew up there. And there were some very fine people there. The Franks went there. Oh, and we loved it. And my mother and father sent my sister there when she was just 4 years old because we were older. And we could kind of watch over her. And that was camp. You didn't go for a week or a month. You had to go for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was an expensive thing. And the Porters from Giant Eagle, their daughter went there, and they used to all come up to camp together for visitation. And I don't know if you know Nat Diamondstone. She was a counselor there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Azens were Rose Azen was a counselor there, and it was great fun.
What were some of the activities?
Everything, you know, swimming, horseback riding, archery, baseball, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that had many Jewish families from.
It was
all
Jewish. No, it wasn't. There was one Gentile family from Vandergrift who came. Helen, what was her first name? Helen Milliron. And her father sent her to that camp because he wanted her to be with Jewish people because she would get fine training. Jewish, it was very unusual. And my mother, and I befriended her because my mother felt that we should have all kinds of friends, that you should go to church and learn what they do, and they should come to the synagogue and learn what you do. And then there can be respect and understanding among peoples. And that's the way we were.
Did many people come to the temple restaurant then who were not Jewish? I'm sure you had
a mixed clientele. Priests loved it. They loved that Jewish bread and that Jewish cooking. They did. Yeah, there was we had Jews and non-Jews. But it was a Jewish-style restaurant, you know.
Yes.
We served ice cream with meat if that's what you wanted, but
What happened?
We never had ham or bacon or anything like that in the restaurant.
What happened during the war years then?
Well, they worked, and it was you got, what did you call that? You
the
got
ration?
Ration.
Yes.
And I know that I used to go with my father sometimes to get the rations. It was up.